Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where husband and wife rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I'm Dan.
Let's get started.
Two, episode 25, the two Miss or Mrs.?
Yeah.
The two Mrs. Mancinis.
That's right.
Air date March 23rd, 1994. I always get MRS and MS mixed up.
Really?
I never understood it.
MRS is Mrs. and MS is Miss.
And Mrs. is if you're married?
Correct.
Why is the R?
Because I think it is playing on Mr. with an S.
Misters?
Mistress.
Why don't they write M-I-S-S-E-S?
Because this is an abbreviation. But I know this is so compelling to everybody listening.
Wow, great podcast.
Whoa. let's get on to Melrose Place.
All right, I'm just saying, I didn't understand
it. Okay, we start off at Melrose Place, and we're in the courtyard, and we see a pool guy tending to the pool.
Same old pool guy.
I wonder, is this guy related to Billy?
I don't know.
He looks like he could be in his family.
He needs some new clothes because he's always wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Camp counselor shorts, work boots, full mullet.
Full mullet. And he's just going to town on the pool. And then we cut to inside apartment 3, where that's
before
where...
Before we even get to inside apartment 3, we need to talk about the grounds. Amanda, you slumlord bitch, they only care about the pool. There's only pool cleaning. All the plants on the right side of apartment 3 are dead. The top one especially.
Yeah.
The muddy ass floor. And it's just jacked.
And it looks as if a piece of the actual building is like crumbling away.
It's rotting.
Yeah.
It's rotting away.
They are not doing a good job of keeping up the landscaping, the grounds. It's like you said, there's just dead plants and leaves and mud everywhere.
I don't know why you even have a doormat, guys, because it's just dirt all over it. It's disgusting.
So we go into apartment 3, and that is where Billy and Allison live. And we then see this scene where Billy's taking a shower. I do not know what the purpose of this scene is. It's really weird.
He only twists the knobs like 3 inches.
And when he turns the water on, he only takes a shower with the water spraying directly into his face.
And he's just like...
Like, that's how he spends the entire duration of the shower. Just water sprayed directly in his face the entire time.
And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think when he turns it off, he turns the knobs like in the direction he turned them on.
It would not surprise me.
Maybe it's one of those hinky showers where you got to do weird stuff to it. Like, oh yeah, you just elbow it and twist it a little bit and then it comes on.
Yeah, so... Allison is making breakfast, and then there's a phone call, and it's her mom. And apparently, Allison's father is they're doing a big 50th birthday party. It's going to be a surprise. And Allison had originally said that she couldn't go. Her mom is really trying to get her to attend, and she tells her mom, okay, I'll be there. I'm going to come to the party.
Yeah, the big old 50th.
So she gets off the phone. Billy comes out and asks, what was that all about? And she said, oh, it was my mom. It's my dad's 50th birthday. And for somebody who's engaged, like, you're engaged to somebody, you don't know that? You don't know that her dad's turning 50 and that there's going to be a big party? And he's like, oh, well, you're not going to the party, are you? Well, yes, I am. When is it? You didn't tell me anything about it. Oh, well, you're not going to go.
She keeps it all real tight-lipped.
That is so weird.
I'd be pretty mad at you.
I rightfully so.
I'm like, oh, it's your dad's 50th? And cool. What are we doing for it?
Yeah, I'm getting married to you. I'm joining your family, yet I'm not invited to his 50th birthday party. Not I've never cool. met your parents.
I went to, like, your family's Christmas party, and we had just started kind of dating.
Yeah.
And that was personal. This is, like, fiancé. He should be going to this for sure.
Yeah, so it comes out in this conversation that Allison has not even told her parents that she's engaged.
I would be like, Jenny, I'm, like, just saddened by this.
It's like,
what are you ashamed?
Are you ashamed of? I mean, like, yeah, I would be ashamed of Billy, but we all know.
I'm 100% ashamed of Billy.
Allison loves Billy, and you'd think that she'd want to shout it from the rooftops that she's getting married, and the way that she's, we have to plan our wedding now. And her reasoning is, well, my parents meddle in everything, and I want to get most of the planning done before they can get involved and meddle in everything. And she says to him, well, this is my decision how I'm going to tell them, not yours. So butt out. And it's a kind
fuck
of like
you.
It's a really weird scene.
Yeah.
Not a good sign for newly engaged couple.
No. I mean, and granted, Billy has a history of doing horrible things to Allison, her work, her personal life.
Yeah, basically, Allison is like, please respect my wishes on this. He's like, oh, I will do the exact opposite of what you would like.
They 100% do not get respected.
Yeah.
He takes, Billy will take your wishes and spit on them and put them in his sweaty belly button.
Ugh.
And then throw them back at your face.
Next up, we see a character we have not seen in quite a while.
And I was alive.
We were so happy to see
Kay Beacon is back. Kay Beacon has returned, and she is very mad at Jane.
And it's not because of a donut order.
No, it's not because of a donut order. Apparently, they are looking at new spaces, and they burst out of this place, and Kay gives Jane the business and almost headbutts her.
She really does. She comes out and she's like, Jane, who are you to say that I have more money than what I actually do? If I want this space, it's up to me to negotiate the terms.
If you say, if I have $1.50 and you say that I have $1.75, you are contradicting me, Jane.
And honestly, while she's delivering these lines, she's almost headbutting Jane on the street.
Yeah, and then she says something along the lines of, like, I don't lie all the time.
No, she says, like, I have no credibility with him. If you keep saying that, it makes me look like a liar. And then Jane has the gall to say, well, Kay, you do lie to him all the time.
No, she's just like, you are a liar. Well, Kay, that's what you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... And Jane went, she went from so hot in the last one to not so hot. Something happened with her hair again. It's back to like, eh.
I think she still looks good.
I lost it for her.
So things aren't good with Kay and Jane, and it looks like Jane's kind of getting to the end of her rope. So as they're walking down the street, Kay gets a call to her cell phone. And it's for Jane.
Her dope cell phone, by the way.
Yeah, it's
I want this thing.
It's a relic.
It like flips up. It like flips down like.
Yeah, it's like the first flip phone from seriously 1990.
It's badass.
And it's Jane's mother letting her know that her grandmother has passed away. Kind of weird that she would deliver that news to Jane via Kay Beacon's cell phone.
Yeah. And it just goes with the times of, like, I remember when I didn't have a cell phone, I would have people call my friends who had cell phones to get to me.
Yeah.
And be like, well, I'm gonna be with B, so just call B, and then I would just get calls like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, grandma's dead, and Jane's very been out of shape about it. And then we cut to the beach house where Sydney is having some sort of like soiree, like lobbying to like join the hospital like benefit club or some bullshit.
Yeah, it looks like a ladies' luncheon for the wives of the doctors or something like that.
And we hear some like voiceover of Sydney being like, yes, I would love to contribute to the hospital any way I can.
and
like, what?
At that moment, we have...
You were a hooker before. like 10 episodes ago, you were a hooker.
Not anymore. She's married to a very prestigious doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, Jane pays her a visit. And I'm sure the ladies who lunch were probably a little surprised to see her there.
Yeah, the two Mrs. Mancini's.
Right, that's right. And she delivers the news to Sydney that Graham has died.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney seems shocked, but she's like, well, have fun at the funeral. She's not intending on going. And she says that Graham had always favored Jane and probably, like, you know, why would she go to pay her respects?
Yeah, and Sid says some, like, clever line of, like, well, her arms weren't long enough to reach me past you. Some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
So Sid's got like a salty taste in her mouth from Graham. Anything Andrews related, Sydney is just not about. She's the black sheep.
Yeah, absolutely. Next scene, we're at Shooters, where Jake and Amanda are playing a round of pool, and Jake is pitching an idea to Amanda about utilizing the boat as a place where they could do a shoot, because I guess Amanda had lost the place that they were going to shoot originally for this ad campaign, and she's kind of in a bind, and she needs a new place ASAP.
Yeah, Jake wants to expand the brand, and did you hear the song?
No.
At Shooters?
No, tell me.
We've heard it before. It's a generic song, but they've inserted it again.
Oh God, the one that was at the club?
No.
What
no,
is it?
The one at the club was do 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 do.
I know you. You sing that a lot.
Yeah, when I'm getting ready and
like
shit.
Anytime you're like ready to party.
No, that's not the song. The song, this one was she's got it all, everything you want. She's got it all.
I did not notice
everything
that.
You need. It. She's got it all. And that song, that was when he broke up with Joe.
Yeah.
And she was like hanging out playing pool.
Yeah.
She's got it all.
This
was
is like
on.
the pool shark ballad.
So we get a little she's got it all.
Jake is driving a hard bargain and saying, these are my prices. They're non-negotiable. And Amanda's like, wait, wait, wait. This is your first time having a shoot. Like, I think we can negotiate these prices. And then Jake, like, breaks down the percentages. And she's like, wow, I've been a good influence on you.
Yeah. And is this when he, like, pulls out the papers to sign, like, at Shooters?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? I don't. It's like, couldn't y'all sign that shit at home?
Yeah, so I think they're going to have the shoot on the boat after all. Now, we go back to Allison's room, and she's packing for her trip home. And she's, like, looking at fabric swatches and putting her clothes away. And then Billy busts in, and he's like, okay, well, I got two tickets to Wisconsin. We're going.
What the fuck? I can't even wrap my brain around their like travel plans. Like she should have her ticket already. Billy, how is he buying these tickets like the day before? How are they buying it the day
before?
Yeah,
and how is she packing if she doesn't even have her ticket yet?
Yeah, you don't know when you're going.
it's stupid.
And I wasn't traveling in 94, but I'm pretty sure you need to like you still need to make arrangements. Some sort of travel plan.
Plus, you'll remember that Allison was very adamant about Billy not going.
Yeah.
So this is, again, Billy just inserting himself where, okay, I totally disagree with Allison about this. Billy should be going. But she explicitly said, I'm going without you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to explain that you're my fiance. And, of course, Billy just disregards her wishes.
Whatever. Whatever. We're going.
Two tickets.
And anywhere, this comes later, but anywhere they go, like, Billy's always the bag boy. But yeah, she's just super concerned that she's going to steal Daddy's 50th thunder.
Yeah, like, we can't tell him at the party because all the glory belongs to Daddy for his birthday.
And Billy, he has a nice little quote here that's just a major 100% lie. I'm going with you to help, not ruin things. bullshit.
And Allison also says, I feel like I'm someone else wearing somebody else's clothes. I keep my life compartmentalized. There's the daughter, the ad executive, and the future wife. I don't like mixing them.
And that is psychotic.
Yeah, it's very weird.
But, like, I get it to an extent. It's like, oh, if you have, like, a friend at work, and then you have, like, a friend from, like, childhood, and then you have, like, a person you play, like, sports with only, and they're all together, it's sort of a strange dynamic for that one person to navigate if no one knows each other.
But it's like, oh, because Billy's not part of my daughter life, my parents can't know him. Yeah. That's weird.
Well, we'll talk about that down the road.
Down the pike. Jane's at her apartment and on the phone with her mom, and they're talking about her grandmother's passing and the funeral arrangements and just how sad it is. As she's on the phone, Allison knocks on the door. Jane goes to answer it, sees Allison, and Allison sees that Jane is on the phone, and Allison is just like, oh, I think my bridesmaid should wear pink, and like throws a swatch in her face. It's like, how jerky is that?
Allison doesn't give a shit. She doesn't care that Joe was in prison. She doesn't care that Jane's grandmother is dead.
Yeah, and then
it's like, my wedding.
And Jane is like, okay, Mom, can I call you back, please? Jane starts addressing all of Allison's bridesmaids' demands. And then Allison, as like an aside, is like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry your grandma died. Anyways, about the color of my bridesmaids' dresses.
Anywho, I think they should wear pink. Shut up, Allison. Oh, you stupid, stupid woman. This is also where Jane reveals to Allison that her grandmother left her $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money, especially, I mean, that's a lot of money today. I don't care who you are, but
especially 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago, that's a humdinger of an
inheritance.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So
yeah, what the hell was Jane's grandmother into?
I don't know, but I mean, we'll get into that further in the episode because they do read what's left in the will, and it's a lot of stuff.
And Jane, she admittedly says that she feels a little bad about Sydney not being left anything. And of course, Allison has to coach her up and is like, well, your grandmother loved you. You shouldn't feel bad.
And she does have a point that Sydney does make it a point to kind of put a wedge between her and everybody else in the world. And it's not her, not Jane's fault that that's what her grandmother did. So you should just accept it and be happy with it.
I don't know. I might disagree.
Really?
I mean, that's $100,000. You're both sisters. It's both your grandmother. And one gets all and the other gets none. Like, you might like break her off a little something. You know?
We have seen what Sydney has done to Jane and other people in Melrose Place. maybe there's a whole backstory of what she did to her grandmother.
Maybe.
That's unforgivable.
Oh, and I think Jane says the words Melrose Place.
They have been referencing Melrose Place, like saying, yeah, we're not going to have Michael at Melrose Place any longer.
Oh, because I was like, is Jane the first character to say Melrose Place?
I don't think so, babe.
I really don't remember anybody else being like, Melrose Place. I live at Melrose Place. Or like, welcome to Melrose Place. You know?
Hmm.
They call it like the apartments or something. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to cut to a very action-packed scene.
Right.
Where Matt is walking home and Michael Mancini is at Melrose Place. I think he's breaking a restraining order right now.
I think he's going there to confront Matt.
Yeah.
I think that's his still, purpose.
He's just in that vicinity. He can't even be there, right?
I would imagine so. Yeah. So Matt is walking through the courtyard. Michael rounds a corner and I think accidentally knocks into Matt.
No, he grabs his shoulder.
Oh, I thought at first he knocked into him and then was like, oh.
No, Michael is walking for Matt. Matt's coming towards and Michael just like reaches out and grabs him. Matt spins around ready to fight.
He's got fisticuffs up. He's ready to punch.
And Michael is like, you need to tell Jane that you lied, and I need that confession back. And Matt is basically like, go get it yourself, Michael. Like, Matt's done.
Yeah.
He's done being Michael's little monkey boy.
And he digs the knife in further by saying, or do you have to ask Sydney for permission first?
And Michael don't like that, so he gives him the biggest knuckle sandwich.
Punch in the face.
Straight in the face. And, you know, Matt's sort of taken back. And he just, Matt, like, just sort of stands up. I think Matt's a big dude, like, in real
life.
Like,
in stature, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think he's tall and big.
Yeah, and Matt, like, looks at Mike and he's like, don't ever put your hands on me again.
And then Michael says, well, when was the last time you said that to a guy, Matt?
Ooh.
Like, so messed up.
He's always throwing, like, gay shade at Matt. Like,
yeah.
He's always talking shit. He's always, like, got something prepared. Like, I'm just going to tell everyone he's making sexual advances at me.
He sucks. And then Michael's like, I'm going to get you for what you've done, Matt.
Well,
and
we didn't even say it yet. Then Matt punches Michael in the face. Michael falls
he punches him in the gut.
Yeah, oh yeah, punches him in the gut. Then Michael falls to the ground. And then Matt knees Michael in the face on the ground. Like, he straight up combos him. And, like, you could kill somebody like that.
Yeah.
If you need somebody while they're down in the face, like, that's a murder.
But luckily, Mr. Mancini does not die. He just looks up at Matt and says, I'm going to get you for what you've done and when you least expect it.
Yeah. And he's like, you'll see. It's like just Disney villain at this point.
I love it.
I'll get you, my pretty.
So I guess it's a little later in the day or the next day. And Jane is walking through the courtyard and she bumps into Amanda and she asks her for some advice.
Oh, God. Yeah, I hate that Amanda is like Miss Finance.
Like the go-to, like, oh, we should ask Amanda for her input.
For like business ventures. Like, do you all remember that Amanda's father is like on the run for like fucking
fraudulent
up. Yeah. Like, she's not the squeakiest, clean business mind out there. You may be better off asking Allison, you know?
Well, Jane explains that she's come into a little bit of money and she's thinking about starting her own design firm and just wants to have Amanda's opinion about how she should go about it. And Amanda's like, well, how much money are we talking about?
And she's like, a lot.
Jane just says, enough. And then Amanda's like, really, Jane, you can't expect me to advise you if I don't know the numbers here.
She's like, I need to know.
So Jane reluctantly tells her that it's $100,000, and Amanda's impressed by this, but she said, well, you know, I think you should use $80,000 of it for startup and the $20,000 you need to live off of.
And at first she's sort of like, she's sort of standoffish about it. And Jane's like, what, you don't think I can do it?
I have the talent.
Yeah. And then Amanda's like, quite the contrary. I think you have the talent. And you don't have a glimmer of a man in your life to distract you. Asperger's. Who says that? Who says that? You socially awkward bitch. Like, that is not something you say to a person.
Well, Amanda does.
And Jane's just, like, taking it like, yeah, you're right. I don't have a glimmer of a man in my life.
And it's just kind of like, oh, great advice, Amanda. Like, duh. That isn't any advice that, like...
No.
It's just like, now Amanda just knows you're going to be $100,000 richer.
Yeah, if I went to, like, a financial advisor and was like, all right, what's it looking like for me? And they were like, you're talented and there's no girls in your life, so you'll be focused. I'd be like, fuck you,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Billy and Allison arrive in Wisconsin in a very vintage taxi cab.
Very, like, classic
for
taxi.
The 90s. I mean, this looks like it's from the 50s.
I think it was called Home Taxi.
Home Taxi.
The old Home Taxi company.
And we pull up to a gorgeous home. I think that they're really striving to make it look Midwestern, but Dan and I were both like,
that's an LA for sure.
That looks like an LA house, like the old, yeah, like mid-century.
No basement.
It's very, well, they do have a basement.
Oh, yeah.
Or so they say.
Right, so they say. But that home from the outside looks as if it is one floor.
Like it,
like
looks,
a Los Angeles home.
It honestly looks like you're driving through, like, even like Beverly Hills. A lot of the homes are that,
like... Oh, yeah, like in the cut.
Yeah, that's what they look, mm-hmm, or even in the valley. That's what they look like.
And guys, if you've never been to California or Los Angeles, they, like... All of the homes, most of the homes don't have basements at all. Mm-hmm. I guess that's due in part to earthquakes and mudslides and just like the way homes are built. The more north you get from Los Angeles and Santa Monica and Hollywood, the more the more the homes are newer and possibly have like a second floor.
Yeah, most of the style are, they're ranch style homes, so they're, yeah, all one floor.
All one floor, which when me and Jenny moved out here was a major, like, we didn't, it was different because our homes in Maryland and stuff had basements and an upstairs.
Yeah, you rarely ever saw a home that only was one level, but out here that's the majority of the homes, especially built in the 50s and 60s, which the majority of, we're talking like Hollywood and the downtown area, that was all developed back, mm-hmm, in the 50s and 60s. So a lot of the original builds are just the ranch style.
Yeah, this is definitely in Los Angeles.
Well, they pull up and...
Oh, God.
Allison's mother comes to meet them outside, and she's very surprised to see that Billy is in attendance. Right. And apparently Allison didn't even give her a heads up that Billy's coming.
She's very bad at communication.
Which is weird.
It is very weird.
Even if it's last minute, wouldn't you say, oh, by the way, I'm bringing my roommate?
And fucking room, not even boyfriend? Do they, yeah, even know they were dating?
No.
She's like, oh, I didn't know you were bringing your roommate.
Right. And then Allison's mom is like, well, come on in, guys. There's someone who's really wanting to see you, Allison. So they walk in. And Allison's ex-boyfriend from high school is waiting for them in the living room. And Dan has a lot to say about this guy.
Okay. All right. Check this out. Adam, his name is Adam Travell, is played by Ben Browder, and he's having quite the career. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. He was the Sovereign Admiral. He's been in Party of Five, Stargate SG-1, and Farscape. It's like a TV miniseries.
Oh, cool.
And he's like in, yeah, he's doing very well for himself. But, all right, so we walk into this home. They're in the foyer. The sort of holding area.
Like the entryway to the home.
The entryway to the house. And not even 3 feet is Adam, who is just standing there.
They walk in and he turns around and goes, oh, hi, I didn't even hear you guys come in. It's like, because they just walked in, yeah, Adam.
I think, Jenny, you like looked at me and you're like, what does he mean? He was right there. And then you're like, is he deaf? Is that why? And then I was like, is he blind? I for real thought he was blind because he's not looking at anything.
It's like his eyes just stare off into the distance, like not focused.
No.
It's like dead eyes.
They're
like
not on anything. Stare. He's just looking. And like he's looking down, like like seriously, I've met blind people. I'm not trying to make fun of it or anything, but
no,
when you talk to them, they do not like. Of course, they cannot look at you. They don't know.
Well, they can hear where the voice is coming from.
Right.
But I know what you mean. They can't like engage. Like they
his eyes
can't make eye contact with
you. Yeah, his eyes are not moving, and they're not looking at anything. Like no one is there. And he's just like, oh, hello, you look very beautiful. And I was like, how does he know that? Because he's definitely blind.
And then Allison is like, Adam, please meet my roommate, Billy. And if I was Billy and you freaking introduce me to an ex-boyfriend as your roommate and I am your fiance, I would be freaking livid.
Yeah. And Billy, of course, is bag boy again. And he's like, has all the bags. And they're like, wait, can we talk about Adam again? Because Adam, he spoke as if he didn't hear his own voice. You know, he's not hearing himself. And that's where a lot of like when deaf people speak, it's sort of muffled because they can't hear the voice coming out. So we for real thought he was blind and or deaf because of the line he delivered. Like, what the fuck, Adam? What's going on here? And Allison looks like shit, by the way. She is in this long ass skirt. She is wearing some sort of Avivas. These like white sneakers.
Not even cool as white Keds. They're like grandmother sneakers.
These are Easy Spirits, 100%. These are Easy Spirits. Faux show.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it is just a train wreck in Wisconsin.
It's really bad. So
So I'm sorry. We go back to Billy. He has the bags and he's like, oh, I'm going to take these bags upstairs, I guess. And he's just like, I am nothing to anybody. Nobody wants me or likes me.
Yeah.
And Adam's like, can I help you with the bag? Billy's like, I got it, bro.
And then Allison is like, Billy, he wants to get into advertising. That's why he's here. And then Billy's like, well, he wants to get into something.
And then Allison has the fucking nerve to look at Billy and be like, you're unbelievable, Billy.
Yeah.
I would slap her, maybe.
She's a jerk.
She deserves a jerk. She deserves a shake, at least.
So then he's like, where's my room? And she's like, it's up the flight. So he's like staying in an attic.
Yeah. It's upstairs next to the fucking junk.
Yeah, he's staying in like an attic. Okay, so next scene, we are on the pretty lady.
And he kicks the door shut, too. Because his bags, his hands are so full. He's just like, I hate to say it, but poor Billy.
Yeah. Billy's, I feel bad for him too.
Billy's really getting
but
it.
But not for long.
No, not for long.
So, next scene, we are on the pretty lady where Joe is shooting this D&D campaign. And, you know, it looks as though Joe is exclusively working with D&D and doing all of their campaigns these days, which good for her. But you got to wonder how she must feel being on the pretty lady after just shooting Reed on it a month ago.
Yeah. Like, there was a murder there that you were
committed by
100% involved in.
And she's just like on the bow of the boat shooting this male model. And I, every time we're at a D&D ad shoot, I'm always wondering what's the product that they're trying to sell.
And he's like holding a life preserver.
It's like, what are they trying to sell?
It's like, oh, yeah, I love that. Love it. And then she puts the camera down. And then this has happened twice with her that, like, the talent, like, picks up the camera and then starts shooting her.
Yeah, it's
like, they've used this already.
It's very weird.
And she's like, haha, very funny.
And all the while, I swear to God, Blink 182 is in the background. I swear this is a Blink 182 song.
I don't think it is, but
it sounds like them so much.
Alyssa, help us. What songs were in this?
Tell us.
Basically, the talent is like very nice to Joe and very sweet, and he asks if she would have dinner with him, and she's like, I don't date the talent. And he's like, oh, so you think I'm talented?
Yeah, like, so he's cute, he's funny, he drives a hard bargain, and finally Joe just kind of gives in and is like, fine, come pick me up at 7:30. And
he kisses her on the cheek.
And while we're there too, we see that everything with Amanda and Jake isn't going so well. Mm-hmm. Amanda's not pleased with how everything's going. I don't know why.
She said some bullshit about, like, in the contract there's three buckets. I only see two.
Yeah, there's supposed to be like three coolers, and there's only four people at this shoot. So yeah.
Jake is like dressed up for this.
And Jake is like, look, Amanda, I got here 2 hours before I was supposed to be here to set up. And she's like, great, just like any professional should. I'm paying top dollar, so I want to have everything in the contract be fulfilled. And it's kind of like,
and then there's some talk of like preferential treatment or like, and then she was like, hold me above everyone else in public.
I didn't like, catch what? That. I don't.
Yeah. There was some weird exchange where like, she was like, well, do it in public. I don't know.
Weird.
It was very, very weird. Now we leave them. It's the evening. It's very late for this to be happening.
Yeah, great.
Where Kay Beacon is like on the street negotiating with, I guess, the property manager of the building her and Jane like burst out of in one of the opening scenes. And Kay's like, okay, $1,300, and that's my final offer.
$3,200.
Final offer. And Jane just like appears.
Yeah, busts out of the actual space, and he's like, well, sorry, this space isn't available anymore. And Kay is like, what do you mean? I was here yesterday. And then Jane comes out and she's like, not anymore. I've rented it for my space. And it's funny because Kay just seems amused by this. She doesn't even seem upset. She's like, oh, really, Jane? You don't have the talent or the capital.
Or the bankroll.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, well, Kay's, like, unfit. I feel like she's on painkillers all the time. Anyway, like, she's just very, like, she's numb to all this shit. And, like, we've seen Kay, let's talk about Kay. Kay has pushed Jane to the level of where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kay hired her sister, gave her sister a job.
Mm-hmm.
Kay challenged Jane
and took a chance on Jane.
Yeah, she propelled Jane to be a better designer and to like be this like savvy businesswoman. She took Jane under her wing.
And say what you will about how maybe she's treating Jane now, and it's unfortunate, but Jane could have just quit and did her own thing. There's probably many other spaces for mm-hmm. rent in LA that she could have went to look at, but she decided that she was going to screw Kay over.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bitch move.
Yeah, that's some Jane. She's using the same, like, Michael Sidney tactics
she
now.
She really is.
To like really smear people. So,
and Kay's like, Jane, this isn't like you. What are you doing?
And Jane's like, it is now.
I'm tired of being stepped on. And then she's like, I'm sorry to quit and run, but I have a plane to catch. And so she's going back to Chicago to go attend her grandmother's funeral.
And how awkward, like, Jane just walks off, and then Kay is with the property manager,
like,
who also just like fucked her.
Well, thanks a lot, jerks.
And the guy is like, okay, see you later, Jane. We'll talk papers later.
Yeah.
Now we go to the beach house where Sydney is just sort of sitting in the dark. And Michael shows up and he's like, what the hell are you doing just sitting in the dark? And Sydney's like, Graham died. And does Michael console her? Is he like, oh, sorry?
Well, in a way, you know, he's like, oh, sorry to hear that. And she goes on and says that Graham always treated her like she was the black sheep of the family. And Michael was like, oh, that sucks for you. I mean,
Graham loved me.
Yeah, she loved me. When I was going through med school, she would send us so many gifts and money. I didn't even need to work anywhere. We were pretty much bankrolled by her.
Yeah.
And Sydney's just kind of like, why would you like kick me when I'm down? And she's like, yeah, well, apparently the funeral is tomorrow and they're going to read the will. And I don't even, like, I feel like I shouldn't even go, like, just to be there and know and have all of my feelings and thoughts confirmed that Gran didn't leave me anything. And then Michael's like, well, get ready, Sid, because we're going to Chicago. I want to see what Graham left me.
Yeah, he just sort of hijacks her entire, like, sadness and her.
Yeah, he does not care at all. And he's just like, I want the money. Let's go.
He's like, I'm going to see if there's some money for me. Fuck your feelings, Sid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's got to be something for me. Graham loved my ass.
So we are now at the venue where the 50th birthday party is going to occur. And there's a lot of people there. It's a big affair.
Yeah.
Balloons everywhere. It looks like they rented a hall at like the VFW or something.
It looks like the scene in Back to the Future where they're at like the school dance. This is the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
There's a stage, there's a band, there's a lot of balloons everywhere.
There's an ice sculpture.
There's an ice sculpture, and apparently this is a surprise, so everyone is gathered together, and then they all collectively, as a group, go, shh, for way too long. It's like, okay, we get it, be quiet.
And then old John Parker walks in, and they're like, surprise! And then he goes, oh, well, thank you all very much. You've got me. You got me good, guys. And then, like, this other old man who's very excited is like, hey, John, let me get you a drink. And he's like, all right, 7 and 7, please.
He seriously sounds like he's from a 1940s radio program.
Yeah.
Where did they find this guy?
His name is Monty Markham, and he was in... he's got a lot of stuff currently in post-production. This movie called Daddy Issues, Reborn. He's filming Silent Life. He completed a short called So She Might Live. I mean, he's working. He's working. He's been in like a ton of stuff. IMDb says he's known for We Are Still Here, Guns of the Magnificent, The $6 Million Man, and Airport 77.
It's very surprising to me that he's still around working because, man.
He was on Broadway.
He does have that stage actor persona.
Yes, it's a very official.
Everything is enunciated.
Right. 7 and 7, please.
It's very over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison goes over to him and tries to introduce Billy. And at that moment, this freaking like white-haired party animal comes up.
That's
and, like,
the guy.
And just pushes him.
He's
and
like, come on, let's get a drink.
And like, these old guys are like freaking ready to rumble. They're
well,
like,
I get it. I totally get it. Like, at that age, even at my age right now, like when no offense, but like, when it's me and like the guys, if there ever is a guy night or like a guy day where we like go to a game or something, I'm ready to rock, you know? I'm like, all right, let's do this.
Well, they're ready to party. We see people dancing in the crowds and they're having a great time.
Let's talk about that crowd. Let's talk about that crowd for a second. Did y'all see Johnny Two Shoes mullet. He had twinkle toes. I'm going to call him twinkle toes.
He's got some moves.
Oh, he was vibing.
I feel like he was doing the watermelon crawl.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
It's a country line dance that was like really popular back in the 90s.
I think he's too smooth to be line dancing.
Dan, like, it looked very like 1, 2, spin around, 1, 2, and like, 5, and 6.
His mullet just like glistened.
It's like a mullet Jerry curl, like... Yeah. Combo.
And he was short. Like, he was like front row center at the surprise. And I know from being an extra, by the way, me and Jenny were in Step Up 2, The Streets.
Yeah.
We were extras in a Baltimore scene.
When they're at a nightclub.
Yeah, they're at the Dragon Club. And like Channing Tatum shows up for like 2 seconds. We were just lucky that was like our day that we were there. The one day that Channing shot.
Babe, he was there for a lot longer than 2 seconds. He did that entire dance number.
I mean, in the film. Oh, he's okay. In the film for like 15 minutes.
No, he did that awesome dance number thing.
Right. That's at the like very beginning
of the
movie. Oh,
you're talking like he's in the entire film for like...
Right.
Okay.
Right. Sorry, for like 15 seconds. And, but... So we were there. And when you're an extra, it's a lot of like hurry up and wait. And like go here, go there. Okay, just stand here. And they like, as an extra in like a big crowd scene, you sort of have the ability to like weasel your way up to the camera.
Yeah.
And this guy was definitely doing that sort of extra stuff to be like, I'm getting fucking seen.
I'm getting screen time.
Yeah. So he's like, da, da, da. And like does his little spin. And like, he's just, he's like, I'm getting in this goddamn show. That's for sure. Because you don't want to be an extra for like 12-hour day and then like you
see like your forehead and that's it.
Yeah, you want the camera. You're like, I'm getting in this motherfucker.
Yeah.
So
a very strange thing happens here, and if any of you know if there's a backstory, if the version of this episode that we watched was edited in some way. We want to hear your feedback on this. It's as if we come into the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
It's like there is the guy, Adam, who is Allison's ex-boyfriend, and Allison is on stage. Billy, all of a sudden, makes his way through the crowd and gets on stage. So there's no... We have no idea why Adam and Allison are on stage together.
Not yet. Well, there's no reference.
Well, there's nothing. It's just like all of a sudden, it's like as if it's in the middle of a scene. Billy comes up and he's like, hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Billy. And Allison has something that she wants to announce to everybody.
And Allison gives him a look like, you motherfucker, you are doing it.
Don't do it.
You're doing exactly what I thought you would do, and that's why I didn't want to fucking bring you.
So Allison freezes. She doesn't really do anything except glare at Billy. And then Billy takes the liberty of going to the mic and saying, well, everybody, I've asked Allison to marry me, and she said yes.
But and he says that, and at the beginning, he just says some shit that like doesn't even make any sense. He's like, well, I'm Billy, and you've all known Allison for a long time.
And okay. Because of that, she wants to tell you all something.
Oh, okay.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
So then we see Adam's face, and it just falls, mm-hmm. and he leaves.
Right.
So again, no context as to what happened before, what prompted Billy to pick that moment to go on stage. It was all very weird. And we're looking at each other like, was that edited out? Was that in the original airing?
I don't know.
What happened?
Yeah, well, and then maybe Allison would be a little more enthusiastic about saying that you guys are going to get married if you were... a little more present, Billy, if you cared a little bit more. So the next scene, Allison is rocking on this wooden tree swing.
Yeah. In the front yard, and I think it's the next day.
And they're wearing sweaters, and like it's not cold out at all.
But they're really selling it, like, ooh, bundling up, and
it's chilly.
The breeze is going, and Allison's mom comes out to join her, and she sits with her on the swing, and Allison compliments her mom and says that the party was great, and her mom asks, hey, did you see the so-and-so family? And Allison's like, yeah, they're exactly the same. And then her mom segues into their relationship by saying, gosh, you know, Penny just kills me. Her daughter will call and keep her on the phone for an hour at a time every week to kind of just say, God, we don't have that kind of a relationship. And she said, well, maybe if we did have that kind of relationship, we would have known that you were engaged to Billy.
Yeah, it's a little shot. And then Allison basically says, like, I guess I was afraid to make it, telling you guys meant that it was real. And she was afraid to admit that. And it's like, why'd you say yes?
And that is a red flag.
Yeah.
If you don't want to tell anybody because you don't want it to be real, then you probably don't want to marry this person.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten off on a horrible foot.
Yeah. And her mom says, well, do you love him? And she says, without a doubt, like, without hesitation, yes.
Yeah. But I think she just loves him out of convenience.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So her mom says that she's got to go settle up with the caterer, but wants Allison to go through her boxes before she goes back to L.A.
And she does get treated like a little baby at home. It's like, make sure you go through your boxes. He's like, okay, Mom.
Yeah.
I'll do it. So now we head to the kitchen.
This scene.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Ugh.
There, Billy and Allison's dad are chopping like carrots and onions for some like disgusting stew. And the dad still has this like radio voice.
Guys, this is exactly how he sounds. Oh, Billy, say, why don't you go down the stairs and get some chicken broth? It's in the cabinet down the stairs. You'll find it right there, huh? Do you think you could be a pal and go get me those chicken broths, huh?
Head downstairs for the chicken broth.
It's like, what? Who are you? So Billy's like, okay, I'll go get the chicken broth. And
he just ho-hums down the stairs of this creepy-ass basement. And of course, he gets the chicken broth, turns around, and starts snooping ass Billy. And he sees this like train set that he just... If I was in your parents' house and we were engaged and I walked downstairs and I saw a train set, I would not touch it.
I wouldn't either, because you went downstairs to get the chicken broth and go back up. But Billy sees this whole train set. He's like, whoa, what's this? And he goes over, he turns it on, he sees the trains going around. Then there's a box on the train set, and inside is the dirtiest doll. It's like covered in soot and ash.
It's disgusting.
And it's just got like black all over it. It looks like it should be in the trash.
And Allison, get down here.
Yeah, it's like, why would this prompt you to be like, come share this moment with me? We cut to Allison. She hears the train, and her face is just like in like terror. Like, yeah, you see this like frozen terror, and she can't even move.
Yeah.
And Allison's like, and Billy is like, Allison, come on down. And she is not moving. He comes up and he carries the dirty ass doll up to her.
Ugh.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
And he's like, gosh, why didn't you come into the basement? And Allison is like, oh, I don't go into the basement.
And that's where the conversation ends. But in real life, if Jenny said, oh, I don't go in the basement, I'd look at her and I would just immediately say, how come?
Like, why?
Why don't you go down there?
Why wouldn't you go down there? But nothing is mentioned. And then the father's like, hey, say, Billy, what's the holdup? Bring over the cans of the chicken broth, will you? Say.
I will admit that, I mean, we always say me and Jenny have watched up to, I think, season 3. But this
I don't recall any of this.
Yeah, this was a time where like we would be like hammered and like throw it on.
Before and, like, we went fall to sleep. Yeah.
So like it's all foggy, but I distinctly remember this storyline. So
I don't at all. Yeah. And Billy leaves and then Allison just takes a doll and throws it in a conveniently placed trash can right in front of the couch.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That was weird. So they go back to making this like cheese soup. Next up, we're back to Shooters, the only place the characters will go out on dates to. And we see Joe and this male model dude, and they're having a lovely time. The model is drawing a portrait of Joe on a cocktail napkin, and he's doing a really good job of it.
He's excellent. He should be an artist.
He really should.
Stop being a model.
Very talented. And he tells Joe that like he wants to hear Joe's entire life story, and she kind of goes through it, and she's really impressed by his artistic work. And he says, well, he does a really smooth thing here where he's like, oh, I think you got something in your eye.
Oh, right. And then he just kisses her.
Yeah. And then she's like, no, what? No, I don't. And he like gets over. He's like, no, I think you do. And he gets closer and he's looking at her eye, and then he just steals a little kiss from her.
Yeah.
Which was cute.
It's called hashtag me too.
Oh, well, yeah.
You can't just be taking kisses from women.
In the wrong, like, you could tell, though, that she appreciated it and it was welcomed.
Right.
And
he has a clever line with the drawing, too. Uh-huh. He gives her the drawing and she's like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And then he says,
not half as good as the original.
Ooh.
Ooh, good one.
Good one. Panty dropper right there.
He's like, I'm going to go get another drink. Can I get you something a little bit stronger than soda water? And she's like, no. And she just says, you know what? Look, I'm pregnant, okay? And he's like, what?
And I'll say, I forgot Joe was pregnant until she said she was pregnant. I was like, oh, yeah.
And then she just, like, very nonchalantly, like, yeah, the father died a month ago. And it's kind of like,
I killed him on that boat.
Yeah,
we were,
you know,
working
that
on
boat that we were on earlier today? I actually murdered him on that boat.
Yeah, where you were standing is basically where I harpooned him in the ankle.
None of that. And Joe's kind of like, well, okay, there's the door. You can leave now. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay and have dinner with this beautiful woman who so kindly agreed to join me for dinner.
And that is very valiant of him.
Agreed.
But, I mean, I don't knock him for being like, oh, okay, this is something I wasn't prepared for. So we're back in Wisconsin, and we're at the foyer of Allison's childhood home, and Adam is there with her and Billy, and this is where we get a slight piece of that puzzle from the cut scene at the birthday.
Yeah, this clues us into what may have happened, where Billy says, wow.
Adam apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry for not knowing.
Yeah, I'm sorry I went about this all wrong.
Right.
And then Billy's like, wow, you got some voice there.
Right. So this leads us to believe that Adam sung a song on that stage, probably to Allison.
That's what we think, that he probably was like, here, I want to sing a song to a beautiful woman. And like, it was probably some love song to try to get her
affection. What? Maybe that's why they cut it, because it was like a song on the radio that they don't have the rights to.
That's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're thinking that he did. He sang this song, and then
Billy was like, oh, motherfucker, hell
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it was some kind of romantic overture to Allison, and that's what prompted Billy to be like,
what? I bet it was like, UB40, like, take my hand, take my whole life too.
That may have been it.
can't help. And then he didn't look at anybody in the crowd.
It was just to Allison.
Take my
if you could see.
I've just like looked away and started singing.
See his face.
Take my whole life.
Oh man, well that is a really great assumption. That's
Alyssa,
probably what happened.
Alyssa, you gotta pull the covers off of this one. Something was sung, we don't know.
And so Adam apologizes, he's like, look, I'm really happy for you guys, and then Allison's like, oh, I forgot my purse upstairs, gotta go. And she leaves Billy with Adam by himself. And Billy is like, well, I guess, you know, you've known the family for so long. And then Adam, in these people's home, not knowing where the family is like, yeah, well, they're really weird.
Yeah, Parker's kind of weird. and he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I've known them, but I don't really know anything about them.
They're too polite, he says. They're too formal. You never really get below the surface with
and
them.
I don't think they're too polite. We barely knew the mom. The dad seems super pushy.
And weird and being like, go downstairs and get me chicken broth.
Yeah. 7 and 7. So, yeah, that was just strange. So we know now, I mean, you got to be a fool to not understand that something went on in the basement with Allison.
Yeah.
And so now we go to, what do you call this? A will ceremony?
A will reading?
Yeah.
I don't know. And they're somebody's like reading off what each family member is going to receive. And it's really good stuff. Like the country home and blah, blah, blah is going to go to this person.
What?
Her collection of jewels will go to her daughter, Catherine.
Damn, who was this?
Like, I mean, like, she was, like, maybe a countess, a duchess? I don't know.
Andrew's got some money.
Yeah.
No wonder Sydney doesn't fit in. She's a fucking prostitute. And they're giving off, like, estates.
And we hear that, and the amount of $100,000 shall be given to Dr. and Mrs. Michael and Jane Mancini. And then Jane interjects and says, it's actually just Jane Mancini now. I've divorced Michael Mancini. And of course, at that exact moment, at the most opportune time, Michael and Sydney show up just in time to contest this.
And Michael's like, yep, I don't think so, Jane. I heard Michael Mancini in there. And Sydney's mother, who is perfectly cast. I love
Perfect.
It. She shows up. It's like, yeah, this is definitely Sydney's mother. And she's like, I can understand the resemblance to Jane, too.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. But she's like, Sydney, why are you doing this? And Sydney's just sort of like, I'm not doing anything.
You can tell that Sydney feels a little over her head, but Michael is like, oh, no, Jane, that money is half mine. I'm going to be getting $50,000 of that. And yeah. Jane is like, I'll fight you to the end, Michael. That's my money. You're not getting it. And then she's like, Mom, come on, let's get out of here. And they leave.
And this shit is just like in public, like just fighting. And I don't know. If this were me, I would be very uncomfortable having this conversation in front of everyone at like a will ceremony.
Yeah.
So they the family just hates Sydney now.
Yeah. They're done. Totally against her. They leave, and then we see Sydney and Michael leaving the area, going to the elevator, and Sydney's very dejected. She's very upset, and she's just like, nobody loves me. I just drop it, Michael. Like, let them have the money. We'll just go on with our life. Nobody loves me, not even you.
And Michael's like, we gotta stick together here. We're gonna fight. I love you.
Yeah, he sees this opportunity, and we see Thomas Calabro like make this choice as he, like, you see the wheels turning. And then he's like, oh, actually, Sid, I love you. I love you very much. And together, we're gonna get this money. And
he's so manipulative.
For Michael, it's like, it's $50,000, which okay, that's a large sum of money by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you're a doctor. Are you really going to fight for 50 grand?
He just doesn't want to really? See Jane happy.
And I think that's what it is. He wants to get his revenge on Jane and make her suffer. And so, well,
and he can use it as leverage to drop, to give the confession. Like right now, Jane has something way over his head. So he's using this as like, if I fight her on this, maybe I can get her out from under me.
Hey, and that's a great point too. It really is. And now upon hearing this, Sydney completely changes her tune. Now it's as if the tables have turned and now Michael holds the keys to the kingdom. He is the one that is in control of this relationship.
Mm-hmm. So now we head over to D&D, where Allison is looking at the photos of who we now know is Gregory Davis, Joe's dinner date. He is played by Gerard Christopher, and he's been on General Hospital, Sunset Beach, Silk Stockings, and get this, you're definitely going to be like, oh yeah, he played Clark Kent on the show Superboy. Doesn't he look like, he looks like Superman or a Clark Kent?
I guess in a way, yeah.
I think he's perfectly cast for that. But so they're talking about how attractive he is and like how the photos are just excellent of Joe. And Joe just starts to light up and she's like, yeah, we had a date. I felt alive. He was so nice. He was so sweet. It was great. And I just felt so comfortable with him. I told him that I was pregnant and he was like, cool. So she thinks like this thing's got legs and that, you know, maybe something will come of it.
Well, coincidentally, this guy is actually in a meeting with Amanda and they're coming out of a conference room and they run into Allison and Joe. So Joe is very excited to see him. She introduces him to Allison and then he's like, oh, Joe, can I talk to you for a minute? And they go off kind of on their own aside and we think that he might be, well, Joe thinks that he might want to ask for a second date or, you know, see how she's doing. But
this quite the opposite.
Is the opposite. He is like, look, I just want you to know that I respect you very much and I had a really great time with you. But truth be told, I want my own family. And
I ain't be no baby daddy.
Exactly. And he's like, I'm just not ready for this. I want to have my own children. I don't know if I'm equipped to be a father figure to a child that is not mine. And I'm sorry, Joe, but this isn't going to go any further.
End of the line.
Yeah. So she's very disappointed. But I mean, I think you have to understand that that's a huge bomb to drop on anybody.
Yeah, we call that baggage.
Yeah.
And a lot of it. Murder baggage.
Yeah, he doesn't even know yet that she just said the father died. He doesn't know in the manner in which he died.
I killed him.
Yeah, I killed somebody. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah. So they...
And plus, this is a month after Reed's death.
Yeah.
Really?
She shouldn't be dating
anybody.
Therapy.
Go to therapy.
Yeah, work it out.
Yeah.
So, of course, she takes it and she's just like, all right.
But you pointed this out. As he was like saying his final goodbye, he tries to kiss her on the lips.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very, I think, disrespectful.
Yeah, she's like, no.
You're going to break up with me and tell me that you don't want anything more to do with me and then you're going to try to kiss me? Get out of here.
Yeah. Scram. Superboy.
Yeah.
Now we go to Mancini Designs.
And Dan and I are both like, why would she name it Mancini Designs?
But I think she's caught between a rock and a hard place because she either has to be like Andrew's Designs.
No, it doesn't Mancini. Have to be your name. You can name it anything you want.
Jane's
Place. It could just be called Jane.
Yeah.
I don't know why she went with this. And furthermore, why she feels like she needs to have an actual space.
Well, maybe she went with Mancini because it's like Italian and it has sort of a, you know, like Dior or like Versace vibe. Like
some kind Mancini. Of, yeah, it like has some elegant like upper crust appeal.
Yeah, like Gucci.
But, you know, I don't know why she feels like she has to have this space. She only has $100,000, which in the grand scheme of things is not that much. Don't you think that she should maybe try making some of these clothes out of her home and trying to sell to wholesale? Or, I mean,
yeah.
It just seems a little premature to be doing all of this. And for some reason, Amanda's there.
Yeah, I thought she was just like in passing offering advice. Now she's like financial advisor.
Like mentor or something.
She's there like watching her like unpack and direct where things go and so shit.
She's ordered all of this fancy furniture that is very 90s. And it's all getting delivered and put into the space
at the same time.
Yeah. And the delivery guy is like, okay, well, it says here that it's cash on delivery. You owe whatever it is, like whatever the sum is. And she's like, oh no, I'm to be invoiced. And he's like, actually, no, I'm reading it right here that you need to pay us now. And she's like, no, I spoke to your supervisor and he said that he's going to send me an invoice. And there's a squabble about this, but in the end, Jane convinces the guy that an invoice has to be sent and she's going to pay him later.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda overhears all of this and she's like, well, Jane having money issues already. And of course it's like, not that it's any of your business, Amanda, but maybe a little bit.
She says like, Jane, I can clearly tell you were lying to him.
How?
What are you, a lie detector, Amanda? How can you tell that was a lie?
For some reason, Jane decides to confide in Amanda that she hasn't actually received the $100,000 yet because of the contesting by Michael. All of the assets have been frozen until a deal or agreement can be made.
And Amanda is pissed like Jane works for her.
Yeah.
She's like, how could you do this, Jane? That is very irresponsible.
You broke the cardinal rule of business. You never buy anything if you don't have the money up front, which is really great advice, but yeah. Something that Jane doesn't really need to be hearing right now. And Jane's like, you think I don't know that? I get it.
And then to lay it on even thicker, she's like, and I guess this means you probably won't have your rent either.
I know. And then Jane just kind of like gives her that like side eye and is like, I'll have my rent, Amanda, okay?
She is always after that rent.
She really is.
You'll have your rent, Amanda.
Yet she does not keep the building up at all to any kind of standards.
Nope. And when Matt was in a jam, you'll have your rent. When Jake was in a jam, I'm going to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Everyone has their rent problems with Amanda.
We're now back at Melrose Place, and Billy and Allison have returned home from Wisconsin, and they're kind of reflecting on their trip, and Billy asks why she and Adam broke up, and Allison kind of like sloughs it off, and she's like, I don't know, we grew apart, and Billy asks, did your dad like him? And she's just kind of like, you know, I don't even know, Billy, I don't really care. You can tell that this is a topic that she doesn't want to talk about. And he's like, wow, it's just so strange. I mean, I grew up in a household where my dad was hugging me all the time and I thought it was really normal. And it wasn't until I was a little older and I saw my friends in their own home environments and their parents didn't hug them as much as my dad would hug me. And Allison was like, well, Billy, even if we weren't hugging all the time, we loved each other. We love each other. And Billy's like, well, I'm going to hug my wife and kids all the time and like goes to hug her. And she's kind of got her back to him and they're laying in bed and you can tell that like something.
She's been touched.
Yeah. There, some memories have been dredged up and this is not a good sign.
She's not feeling it. Now, Jane rolls up to the beach house again, which like, I mean, the access to this place is just like, come as you please.
And she just walks right in.
Just strolls up.
And if there is a restraining order that that she filed against Michael, is there any repercussions for her breaking that?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because she's just like, hey.
She just she's there all the time. And then if that, like, what's there to say about the restraining order when Michael showed up at the will-giving ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of...
I'd be like, get out of here.
There's lots of recourse that Jane could take right there to say, you're violating your restraining order.
Well, that's a good question. Is the restraining order against Jane's home?
I think it's the person you cannot be within like 50 feet or whatever the parameters are of that specific person.
Mm.
So lots of good questions, but it seems like none of the characters are taking this into their minds. But Jane just walks right in and Sydney and Michael are having like a very fancy dinner.
Yeah, and they're super like... swell with each other
for
now.
Just two people.
Just like, oh, we love each other now.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, like, I just want to get in on that dinner. It looks great.
Yeah, can I have a bite? Can I just get a bite? And Jane is basically like, Michael, you ain't getting 1 cent of this money. I don't care. I will fight you guys to the end.
And don't think I'm not going to release that signed confession from Matt. And Michael's like, Jane, you're not going to do that. Because if you did, Matt's going to go down too. And I know that you'd never do that to Matt. And she's kind of like, that's right. I mean, if she did decide to release that and make that public, mm-hmm. Matt would be collateral damage. And Jane just is not the type of person that I think would be willing to bring Matt down in all of this.
Yeah.
And then Sydney is like, keep this up, Jane, and you're going to spend the entire inheritance on legal fees, which is very true. She's like, now that you're not in bed with an attorney anymore, you've really got a predicament. Which is true.
Yeah.
$50,000, it can be gone in a matter of weeks.
Flash.
I mean, in a matter of days, weeks, that you would be spent consulting with a quality attorney.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, you might get $10,000, and that's nothing.
Yeah. And Jane has a great line. She says, I'd rather see you dead than give you half the money.
And is that a setup for something in the future?
See him dead.
I don't know.
Maybe.
So.
I don't know.
Okay. Dan, please describe this next scene.
All right, guys. Let's go on a little journey called Allison's Brain. Allison is laying in bed with Billy, and she sort of just kind of nods off and goes to bed and is immediately in REM sleep enough to, like, have... this dream of, like, I forget, like, the freaking, it's black and white, it's creepy, there's, like, children's music on, like, ding, 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 ding.
Like
ding,
a music ding, box. Ding.
And then, like, you see the train going in slow motion, and then the basement, it's a shot of the basement doors just, whoosh, like, fling open, and you're like, oh, damn, the basement. And then there's a little baby doll's head slightly turning. Cut back to the train. Cut back to the stairs. Cut to Billy being like, oh, man, Allison, come downstairs. And then we're back to the baby doll head, and now its eyes start bleeding backwards. It's fucking black blood just coming down the face of the doll and the train. Choo choo. And then Allison wakes up. Credits.
Yeah. So a lot happened in this episode.
Creepy as fuck.
A lot happened.
Allison needs to see a therapist with dreams like that.
Yeah, a lot of people need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on.
A lot.
So to recap, Allison tells her family that she's engaged.
Billy gets wind that the Parkers are fucking batshit insane.
The basement and the train sets bring back bad memories for Allison.
Jake expands the boat biz.
Jane screws Kay Beacon out of a deal and starts her own design firm.
Joe goes on a date.
Sydney and Jane's grandmother dies, and Michael is fighting for half the money.
And Matt kicks Michael's ass.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 90s moment.
And Kay Beacon's back.
Oh, who could forget that?
God, please be in every episode, Kay.
I think that's probably the end of her.
No.
So 90s moments. What you got?
Kay's cell phone.
Absolutely. The taxi.
Home taxi.
Yeah.
Allison's piece of shit outfit in Wisconsin.
You know, all of
looked like curtains. Her skirt was curtains.
And the tennis shoes with it. Why? Man. All of the design choices in the Parker's home. The wallpaper. Wallpaper in every room. That floral paper.
Yeah.
The valances on, like, the window treatments with the swooped valances. The floral patterns on the couch. Like, mm-hmm. Everything about their home was like some interior decorator from 1992 came in and really gave them the full service treatment.
Yeah. Twinkle Toes mullet guy.
That.
He was a 90s
and I
moment.
Swear, I think he's doing the watermelon crawl. I really do.
Just glistening.
T-shirt and a blazer when the male model's out with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
It's very like My Three Dads or whatever that show was.
My Two Dads?
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or Three Men and a Baby. Three I think Men and a Baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think of some like just off the top of my head. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that kind of covers a lot of it.
All right. Well, all of these episodes deep down have a lesson that we can take away. Jenny, what is that lesson for you?
You know, I think Amanda said it best. Don't make big purchases unless you have the money. I think that that is something that we could all apply to our lives. Why would you commit to something when it wasn't a done deal, when you didn't have the cash in hand? It just seems so premature to get into all of this trouble without having the capital behind you.
Yeah. My lesson is basically the same, just said differently. Don't write checks your ass can't cash.
Exactly. You said it in a much more eloquent way.
And basically, that goes for Jane and Allison saying yes to getting married.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't, she couldn't handle it, she shouldn't have said yeah. Because mm-hmm. It is real. Right when you say yes, it's real.
Yeah.
And now it's time for
Bitch of the week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
All right. Bitch, last bitch, week, bitch, Jenny, bitch, you said that Billy was the bitch.
Yes, I did.
Of Love Mancini style. And I said that Matt was the bitch of Love Mancini style. And with 65% of the vote, of course, Billy is the bitch of the week.
Woo!
Of course he's the bitch of the week. And here's, like we said, if you're in our Facebook group, we will read your reasoning behind why you chose Billy or Matt. So Alyssa says, okay, I know this is not an option, but I vote Jake for bitch of the week. Why would he buy the boat that Joe killed Reed on?
Great. Great point.
Did he buy it? Does he own it? Well, he's sort of like leasing it.
No, he is like running it.
Right. Yeah, but why? Yeah, why would he even like offer this as some sort of option? Donald, he said, I voted for Billy because I totally agree with Jenny on this. And honestly, Jenny, if you think Billy's being a bitch now, wait until the end of the season that you guys are on. You're going to find out that this is nothing. As for Dan's pick, I didn't agree with it for several reasons. Hey, come on, Donald. Matt is concerned for Sydney's well-being in the couple episodes leading up to this. Michael has been acting like he has everything under control and he's going to murder her. And Matt has had to carry around this horrific secret. And it's horrible with the way that Michael was acting when they left on their honeymoon. how he was like, say goodbye to Sydney, was kind of creepy. And I think any human being would be like, oh my God, he's going to kill her. So I don't think Matt was being a bitch at all. Matt was just being his usual concerned self. And I think he really needs to get it off his chest. And I'm glad that he did tell Jane, because she got her revenge. And it was awesome. But great episode, guys. Can't wait to hear the next one.
Yeah, then Janky, this is one of my favorites. She says, Billy hands down, Triple B for the win. And she goes on to say, Matt is just a poorly written dork, which had me laughing out loud. But she also says, goes on to say that she would have argued that Allison was the bitch because she's a bridezilla and she isn't there for her best friend. So definitely agreed with that. Viv, she supports my vote with Billy too, and says that he is definitely the bitch of the week for being a lousy friend, boyfriend, and just being Billy. I don't care if he used to just date Amanda, but Jake is his best friend. Jake just found out he slept with Amanda, yet Billy had the nerve to call it, in his words, a feud or whatever it is we are having, and expects Jake to just shrug it off and move on. I cannot agree with you more, Viv. Such a bitch. And then Kevin does agree with Janky, and in that Matt is the character that strikes fear in the heart of the writers, which is very true. I think that the writers probably didn't know how to handle an openly gay character, and so they kind of gave him the, you know, the really side weak storylines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Great, great points, guys. You always make us see it from different perspectives and bring up little tidbits that we don't consider, and we love your input.
Yeah. So this week, Jenny, who's your bitch?
Okay. Without a doubt, Allison Parker is the bitch of the week. So many reasons why. I mean, first and foremost, you do not even tell your fiance that your father is having a pretty big 50th birthday party. It's not like, oh, we're just going to celebrate with immediate family. It's like, we've rented a hall. The town is coming. Everyone that's been involved in my family's lives are coming. Yet you're not going to bring your fiance or even tell him that it's happening before the fact, and then decide to go behind his back. When was she going to tell him that she was going to Wisconsin for this? And then for it to come out that she has not even told her parents that they're engaged.
Mm.
I mean, it's been a few episodes since she did say yes, and there was not a phone call placed. Terrible. Then the fact that poor Jane's grandmother is dead, and the first thing she can do when Jane opens the door, she sees Jane is on the phone, and she just starts rattling off how her bridesmaids' dresses should be a different color. I mean, how selfish and bitchy is that? And then the entire way she acted at her parents' house with Billy. I mean, introducing Billy as a roommate, that's the worst. That is the worst. And of course, I don't agree with how Billy went about making Allison telling everybody about how they are engaged. She should have told people before. And I think hands down, she is the bitch of the episode.
All right. I mean, yeah, she was a fucking super bitch. But I think there's another bitch here that we're not seeing. And her name is Jane Mancini.
Really?
Yeah. Jane, she has become very, very spiteful. If you were working with your boss and your boss is negotiating something and saying she has X amount of dollars, and then you say, no, you have X amount of dollars, that is fucked up.
Agreed.
That is not cool to do to your boss while you're in the middle of a negotiation. You do not contradict or undermine your employer. Then her grandmother dies, okay? That's very sad. Mm-hmm. Very, very sad. And she gets left $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000. And she even admits to Allison, Allison, I feel bad that Sydney gets nothing. And once you get that money, you have the power to then give Sydney something. She then goes, she goes to Sydney's home yet again, barges in on a party that Sydney is trying to hold for her husband to be a nice wife and like contribute to some sort of hospital society fund or whatever, barges in on that, which is bitchy, and then tries to make Sydney feel bad for Graham dying. And she succeeds. And then at the will ceremony, she's a total bitch. She gets in this verbal altercation, which is hella rude to do at somebody's will reading, and like fights with Sydney and Michael. It's a very bitchy thing to do. Very bitchy. Jane, I'm sorry, baby, but it's you. You're the bitch.
Wow. Well, I think both compelling arguments. We invite you and encourage you to weigh in. Tell us who is the real bitch of this episode. If you disagree and you think that somebody else should be nominated, we want to know about it. And we will talk about your feedback on the next episode. So go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and cast your vote for Bitch of the Week.
Vote for the bitches. Now, we need to rename this thing because this is called The Two Mrs. Mancinis. And it's sort of like, eh. Meh. Not that good. We could do better.
I think so, too.
So, rename it.
My rename is When There's a Will, There's a Way.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Read mine. Read my rename.
Where is it?
At the
When
bottom.
There's a Will, There's a Way! Well, babe, great minds think alike.
I thought I was being so clever.
Me too.
I was clever.
Well, there you go.
Where there's a will, there's a way. That and season 2, episode 25. That is the first time we have said the exact same titles. So that is it.
That's it, guys. When there's a will, there's a way. Okay, predictions. What do you think is going to happen?
All right. I think that Jane is going to need to settle this money dispute. She's going to have to cave in order to keep her business. I remember her having her own business.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to have to just like cater to Michael and Sydney on this one. So whether that means that they might like have to be like partners or some shit.
Mm.
And that's a great...
That would make it interesting, yeah. That's for sure.
So they've got to settle this dispute. Allison, for sure, has been sexually abused in that basement. 100%. She's got some skeletons in the closet, and that might lead to her not being ready to get married. She's going to have some sort of... She's got to work some shit out, and that's going to break them up for sure. And Jake and Amanda are just... fucking boring. Something is going to happen. It needs to happen. I'm sure that the writers of this show are like, I got nothing on them. They're
stupid.
Yeah, they're just
like, just to have that dumb little squabble is like, well, at least it's something.
Yeah, we don't even go to D&D anymore.
Yeah,
for Amanda and Jake just has nothing.
Nothing
to do.
Going on.
Now that he even has a job, it's still just like nothing.
Yeah.
He needs to like hook up with Joe or something.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Well, I definitely agree with you about the Allison storyline. Something bad happened to her in that basement, whether it be sexual abuse or just being beaten or some being mistreated in some way. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think this is going to lead to the demise of her relationship with Billy. I kind of feel like Billy is going to meddle in some way to be like, I think you need to relive it, or like something weird.
I'm going to fight your dad.
Yeah. Like something crazy where it's gonna just drudge up the past even more and really make her confront what happened. And I think this is gonna turn her into like to a downward spiral where she's just gonna become a raging alcoholic again, and then their entire relationship is gonna implode. I think Kay is gonna be out for blood. this bitch came in, took her space, quit her job, and now is trying to launch a competing label against her.
I gave you donuts, Jane. Donuts.
Although I think that Kay may not be around any longer, but I'm hoping in my heart of hearts that there's going to be some kind of showdown or some way that Kay is going to try to get retribution on Jane. I think that Jane's line about saying, "I'd rather see you both dead than give you any of that money," is foreshadowing in some way. She may be trying to play her hand at some kind of accidental death with Sydney and Michael somehow causing a car accident or carbon monoxide poisoning or some kind of a way that she can see to it that they die without connecting her to their deaths. And then I think that, like you were saying, the whole Amanda Jake thing, we've got to shake it up.
What's like, going on?
Like, this isn't working. I think they're probably going to play that their lives are being too intertwined with their work life, and that's going to cause some issues with them down the road. And hopefully they will. I just do not like them as a couple. I want them out. Like, they both need to pursue other avenues. So
shake it up.
Hopefully we'll see that in future episodes.
Also, spoiler alert from our season 2 disc 7 with Kimberly on the front with Sydney, and then in 3 episodes there is a episode called The Bitches Back.
Cannot wait for that episode. So,
not like we didn't know, but she's coming back
soon.
2 more episodes.
Oh yay!
And we get our lovely Kimberly. So that's the episode, guys, but we, of course, I mean, the Facebook group is blowing up. I love the activity there.
Yeah.
Gregory R., he posted like a magazine threat, like shoot of all the ladies of the MP. And it's this was on Valentine's Day, so this was my Valentine's Day present, I think.
Damn, loved it.
Joe and Jane and Kimberly are on one side looking all fierce and like hungry, and then on the other page it's Allison, Amanda, and Sydney, and Amanda is like, you said, spread eagle.
She's like just laying on the bed. Whoa, ready.
And Allison has like her hand on, it looks like her hand on like Amanda's shoulder, and Sydney's just like, can I be in the picture too? And just sitting on the bed. But it's just that kind of stuff. Like, you guys are posting, like, some really cool stuff. Amanda N., she posted some vintage Melrose Place TV show production slides from the Fox Broadcasting from, like, on eBay. Just, like, really cool stuff. And Eric posted about an SNL parody of Melrose Place that was on Saturday Night Live, which was funny as shit. Like, just good stuff going on, and I really appreciate you guys talking to us and hanging out with us. And we got a iTunes review.
Yay! So this review comes from PrissyPants9505, entitled "My Newest Podcast Obsession." Melrose Place is one of my favorite shows ever. From betrayal to absolute insanity, Melrose Place has it all. And Jenny and Dan add the most perfect commentary to complement a good binge watching of the series. And their impressions of Billy and everyone else are spot on. They keep me laughing the entire time I listen. I am so happy I found this podcast early in my second go around binge watching the series. Keep up the good work.
Oh, Prissy Pants, we're so happy that you like our podcast.
Thank you so much, Prissy Pants. My Katya is very rusty. But honestly, thank you so, so much for your input and for writing the review. It does so much good for us. And if you haven't written a review and you want to weigh in,
do it.
Please do it.
It doesn't hurt anything. And we're on Patreon. you can go to patreon.com/melrosepod. And if you contribute $1 a month, then you get bonus episodes and character breakdown episodes. And you get the satisfaction of knowing that you are helping our little family live and survive. So we're on Facebook. Of course, we're on Twitter. Of course, we're on Instagram. Of course, at Melrose Pod. You can follow us there. If you want to email us, send us whatever, email us melrosepod@gmail.com. We love you all very, very much, and we are looking forward to closing out season two. We're almost there.
We love smut,
and we love you.